Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. You are listening to LombardiAv.com, the Packer Sports Panel, here on Blog Talk Radio, where for the next 30 minutes, we will be talking about everything Green Bay Packers for as much as our time allows. Good morning, everybody. I am your host, Davey Miller, and welcome to the show. Joining me on the sports panel this morning is our own LombardiAv.com staff writer, Patrick Hughes, and our producer of the show, Ray Rivard, and Fansided.com's Doug Ayton. Gentlemen, welcome to the show, and Patrick, good morning.
Hey, good morning. Good morning. It's bright and early out here in Portland.
Well, the Packers made a roster move this week, so I think we're going to start off with that just to do a little house cleaning to get us up to speed on the roster. They signed street free agent Cahill Bell. He was with the Chicago Bears for a few years, 26 years old, out of UCLA, a bruiser type runner, weighs 219 pounds. If you want to compare that to, say, Eddie Lacy's 235, both the same height. He may be needed right away on special teams because before they signed him to the roster, Patrick, we only had Eddie Lacy and John Kuhn at the running back position. So my question is to you, first of all, to make that roster move, they had to cut Jerron McMillan at safety. Was that a message to the team, particularly the defense? Because when you talk to the guys in the locker room, it sounds like they took that as a message.
Yeah, I can see how they might take that as a message. Green Bay has, you know, as Packer fans know, Ted Thompson has a strategy of draft and develop, and they give their draft picks a shot, especially the guys in the first three, four, or maybe five rounds. You know, most of those guys usually make the team, and they usually stick with the team for a minimum 3 years. They give them a chance to develop into the players that they think they can be. And Jerron McMillan is a guy that I thought was going to be a pretty good player. Last year I thought he needed to, you know, get some things in order, but a lot of first-year players do. And this year he really wasn't able to do that. He wasn't playing very fast. In Baltimore he had a couple of miscues that led to points, and eventually found his way to the bench and. I think he only played like six snaps even on special teams in the last game. So, you know, so they cut him free, and I think if there was any complacency within the Packer locker room, guys thinking that, you know, I was a draft pick, third, fourth round draft pick, I'm safe, they're going to give me a shot. You know, it was a little bit of a message stating, you know, you're not necessarily safe just because you're a draft pick. You've got to perform, and if you can't perform, we're going to bring people in here that we think can help the team. So, yeah, I think it was a little bit of a message. And, you know, when you're not winning, those kind of things happen. If you're winning, maybe Jerron McMillan's still on the team, but they're not winning, and they're making some moves to shake up the roster.
Well, and I think, too, that it could be just the first step in many moves to come this offseason. I was talking on the show earlier this week to Kevin Gibson, and I had mentioned to him we have 12 defensive backs, which cornerback safeties on the roster. Two of them are on the IR roster, 10 active. And now you cut McMillan, that's down to 9. And out of that group, 7 of them, so there's 11 left, 7 of them are undrafted free agents. And then you got McMillan, who was a heavy hitter, but like you said, he's probably regressed, if not just plateaued. But he was certainly nothing special. Maybe Sean Richardson can come in and do a little bit more. But, yeah, I think it was a message, and I think it's just hopefully one of many moves to come in that defensive backfield. And then Ray Ray, good morning.
Good morning.
You know, if A-Rod's not starting this Sunday, apparently it's going to be Matt Flynn, and in all probability that means it's probably going to be Matt Flynn. Two-part question here, and I know you like to talk about this. That's why I threw this question to you. One, in your mind, who gives us the better chance to win on Sunday, Scott Tolzien or Matt Flynn? And say if Matt Flynn starts and doesn't do well, do you hook him in the second half and put Tolzien in?
Well, that's a call for Mike McCarthy. If I was on the sidelines, at this point in the season, yeah, I'd give the hook. What do you have to lose? You got a young guy sitting on the sidelines who needs some more experience, who has shown that he can score points for the team. So give him a shot. If the team is down, I mean, they did it with Flynn. I know McCarthy likes Flynn because of his experience within the system and his experience in the league. But at this point in the season, if the Packers need a jolt, he did it with McMillan. He made a statement. Why not do it with the quarterback position as well? So Matt Flynn, I like Matt Flynn. I think he can lead the team. But he's also shown that he's a little jittery back there. Of course, if I had Nabikansu bearing down on me, I'd be a little jittery too. But, it's time for change with the Packers. And without Rodgers, I would say that the door is wide open for any player who can step up and play and produce.
Mm-hmm. Well, Matt Flynn, I like Matt Flynn because he's going to probably be the starter and he's wearing a Packer uniform. And I liked him better his first time through Green Bay before we knew that he couldn't beat anybody out across the league. I mean, in Buffalo and Oakland, no shame in Seattle with Russell Wilson ahead of him. But in Oakland, he had three players he couldn't beat out. In Buffalo, yeah, he had a sore elbow. And then he came back here his first couple of weeks. He couldn't beat out Scott Tolzien. So Matt Flynn, for as many years he's been in the league, what you see is what you get from him. And no matter who's behind center this Sunday, they have to put the ball in the end zone. And if it's Matt Flynn, I'm going to poll for him like – I'm his number one fan because we still, in my mind, have a playoff berth on the line. And, Doug, to help us maybe win this game on Sunday, first of all, Doug, welcome. How are you doing this morning?
Not bad, Davey. Thanks for having me.
Well, I appreciate your patience in getting to you.
Hey, no problem.
Got a question for you about the Packers' offensive line in protecting the quarterback, whomever it's going to be behind center, particularly on the right side. It seems like if T.J. Lang has to play center, and all indications are that he's going to have to, you got a four-player combination, Lane Taylor, Don Barclay, Derek Sherrard, and Robert Newhouse. What combination do you see starting, or what's your preference for starting on that right side come Sunday?
Well, I think the position that holds everything in check yet, as far as what we're looking at for the weekend, is whether or not Evan Dietrich Smith is going to be able to go at center. He's been limited in practice this week. He's been taking some reps. Whether or not he's going to be able to go, I think you probably have to assume that he's probably not going to be ready to go on Sunday, in which case you probably have to slide T.J. Lang over there to center, which takes him off that right side. Probably, as much as I hate to say it, you're probably going to bring Marshall Newhouse back and give him another shot. We've seen him the last couple of weeks not perform very well at all, but you still have to try and get some continuity on that offensive line if you're going to do anything through these last few games of the season. And if you start shuffling things around too much at this point, I think you harm yourself more than you help yourself, and you probably start throwing in the towel on the season when you say, okay, well, what's our best sort of option here for you five guys up front going into next season? You know, I think if you're Mike McCarthy, you need to come out and kind of dump, do what you've done at quarterback position, which is, you know, sort of stick to your guns, you know, do what you say you're going to do week in and week out. You put the best player there that's going to give your team the chance to win. And, you know, long story short, if we don't have any type of running game, the quarterback behind these guys doesn't stand a chance because defenses, like we saw in Detroit, are just going to start coming time in, time out, and every down. And if you don't have time to throw the football, you're not going to survive any offensive line. If you don't have an offensive line in front of you, it doesn't matter. You're not going to have time to throw the football. We need to run the football. Otherwise, I think you're putting anybody up front into a losing position.
Well, I totally agree with you, and it's a big question. You know, if Dietrich Smith can't go and you have Lang at center, I'll tell you, Dougie Badger, I'm just not comfortable with Marshall Newhouse. I say throw continuity out the window. If the guy's terrible, the guy's terrible. He's been with you for how many years? He's played and started how many games? Maybe not at right guard, but you know what you got in Robert Newhouse and or Marshall Newhouse, and I don't think you have anything in him. I would like to see a combination of they played Sherrard a little bit last week, which could be an indication they may give him a start this Sunday at right tackle, and if that's the case, they would probably move Don Barclay inside. Or if they kept Barclay at right tackle, why not go with a young Lane Taylor? I mean, can he really, Doug, be any worse than Marshall Newhouse? And sounds to me like you might be defending Newhouse a little bit. Are you?
Well, I think, you know, the kid's been thrown into the fire here. And you take a look at other positions that have kind of done the same this season, and we've been able to cut those guys a little bit of leeway at times because of, you know, the situation that they've been put in. I really think that he's another one of those kids that you have to throw into the mix like you did with, you know, defending Scott Tolzien, defending Matt Flynn, you know, defending some of these other players. You know, even you take a look at some of the guys that have been tossed into our secondary this year, and regardless of their talent, they're put into a mentally tough position. Now, I think we've seen already that Marshall Newhouse is probably not the most mentally capable guy when it comes to, you know, facing some adversity. But if you don't stand behind him at this point, I really think you're just taking a kid and throwing him out on the curb and saying, you know what, we don't trust you, we don't want you, and you're going to sit here for the next four or five games, whatever it's going to be if we make the playoffs, and you're going to be gone next year because you're not going to have a job in Green Bay. So I really think you have to put your chips behind this kid because you've done it so far in these last few games, and see what you get after the season comes.
Mm-hmm. Well, we'll see how it plays out. If he is in the starting lineup on Sunday, again, I'm going to be his biggest backer because why? He's wearing a Packers uniform, and he's out there on the field. So I have no preference with anybody, really. I just hope that whoever goes out there, well, I guess I do have a preference, but my overall opinion has always been, regardless of who was out there, I just wanted to play well. And then, Ray, talking about playing well, running back Steven Jackson for the Falcons last Sunday kind of had a breakout game. He's kind of shaken off the cobwebs, it looks like, of a disappointing first half of the season where he missed four games during that stretch. He had three touchdowns last week. I had gained over 80 yards, 84 yards on 23 carries. He's going to be a load this Sunday. You know, we were all courting him because he brings the same type of intangibles that an Eddie Lacy does. Big, strong bruiser, can get you the tough yard in between the tackles. So in this showdown of running backs, what can we expect to see, first of all, from Steven Jackson against that Packer, shall we say, of late anyway, lackluster rushing defense?
Oh, for sure. I'm sure the Atlanta Falcons have watched that tape from Detroit, and they saw what the Lions, the Vikings, and just about what everybody else has done the second half of the season on the ground against the Packers. And yeah, we'll see a lot of Steven Jackson. I'm afraid. My only hope is that the Packers defense wakes up this week, the run defense, and starts playing the way they played the first six or seven games of the season, when they shut down the run, and play defense like Packers like we expected them to do. So yeah, I expect to see a lot of Steven Jackson early in the game, depending on. How the game progresses, of course, will determine just how much we'll see of him throughout the game. So, yeah, I expect to see a heavy dose of that guy.
And then, Patrick, you see it Adrian Peterson, and throughout history, some of the more elite backs, where they average 5 yards a carry. And, like a Steven Jackson throughout his career, but particularly an Adrian Peterson. Now, yeah, they only come around once in a lifetime. But my question is, it seems to me like without an elite quarterback, your Adrian Petersons, some of the other backs in history have been able to face an eight-man front and be successful. Up to this point, without an elite quarterback, the Green Bay Packers offensively, with Eddie Lacy, have not been able to be successful to where now Lacy's per yard average carry is for the season below 4, where it was almost a strong 5 all the way through the season until this rough spot. So every week, Lacy's numbers are deteriorating. His per carry average is dropping because he doesn't have an elite quarterback. What can the Packers do without an elite quarterback to kind of ramp up that running game, particularly Eddie Lacy?
Well, I disagree with you a little bit. Both certainly Eddie Lacy has struggled since Aaron Rodgers has departed. But looking at his stats, against Minnesota, he went, 25 attempts, 110 yards, and he got a touchdown.
That's his only good game during that stretch, yes.
And he also had 150 yards against Chicago, the game that Rodgers went down. And 73 yards against Philadelphia. That's nothing that's not great, but last year or the year before, we would have been thinking we have the next all-pro running back on our hands. He, against the Giants, he definitely, got it handed to him. He went for 26 yards. Detroit obviously got it handed to him, 16 yards on 10 attempts. But the Packers all but gave up on the running game at that point.
He had a game of 14 carries for 27 yards.
Yeah, against the Giants. So, yeah, that was 1.9 rushing average. But I think if the Packers are going to have success in this game, it's going to be on the ground. The Falcons, they have a weak front seven. That's kind of the knock on them. C.J. Spiller, who's having a disappointing this year, he went for 149 yards on 19 carries, averaged 9.9 yards a carry against them. So I think Eddie Lacy, and they obviously don't have an elite quarterback. I think he can have a nice game against Atlanta. I think Eddie Lacy's capable of running against, eight-man fronts. That's not a big concern of mine. Against the Detroit game, that was just such a debacle all the way around. What else do the Packers have to do in that situation? Matt Flynn, he can't drop back without getting hit, and they're just coming, fast and furious. So
right,
I don't know.
That was a game where Detroit just dominated the trenches on both sides.
Yeah. So I think, I mean, to answer the question, I think Eddie Lacy has the capacity to be successful against eight-man fronts. I think he's young in his career, so he hasn't learned the nuances of having success in a situation like that. Adrian Peterson, who's been around a few years and sees it game after game, he knows how to find those little seams and squirt out the other side.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Let's just hope he has a good game this week, and that our rushing defense shows up and kind of neutralizes Steven Jackson, who can go off. Again, he scored a couple of touchdowns last Sunday, so hopefully that was just going to be his best game of the season. And now I'm going to get back to fansided.com's Doug Ayton. And Doug, you love to disagree with me. You're such a, I could choke you sometimes, but decent. But Doug, you'll probably disagree with this as well. But I think that Mike McCarthy looks shaken, a little indecisive at times. I think his armor's been chinked or dented a little bit. Now, as a result of him looking shaken and beaten and bruised, I think his team has emulated that of their coach. Do you agree with that, or would you vehemently disagree with that?
Well, you know, I have to say that, you know, we're all creatures of habit. You know, day in, day out, when we go to work, it's hard to not fall into a routine and find more efficient ways of doing things, find more comfortable ways of doing things. And when you've got somebody that, you know, walks in and brings you coffee every morning, why the heck would you go to the coffee machine yourself and get it? And, you know, when you've got Aaron Rodgers back there at quarterback, I think it's what it's done for this entire football team is disguise a lot of things that maybe we weren't noticing before that have kind of been gone by the wayside. And if I come in my office one morning and I sit down and my coffee's not there, I might have forgot how to go to the coffee pot and get it. And, you know, it's as weird as that may sound, it's probably about as great a metaphor as I can get to describe what's going on there with our head coach. You know, and not that it's any lack of his ability to coach a football team. I think we all have to agree that Mike McCarthy is a great NFL football coach. Now, what he does in this, you know, wake of what's happened here in the last few weeks, he'll probably look back on it and say, I should have been more well-prepared. I should have been, you know, a little bit more, you know, in the foresight of what could we do should this happen. And, you know, obviously Ted Thompson's taken a lot of that scrutiny this week from our own Ray Rivard on whether or not he's been ready to, you know, kind of combat Aaron Rodgers having a serious injury. And, you know, I think we have to give him the benefit of the doubt here, too, like we've done so often. And I know I'm getting old with saying that, but we have become so accustomed to winning football games in Green Bay that I think we need to really just stop and let things kind of fizzle through our ears a little bit before we jump all over somebody and maybe point the finger, you know, the old question is, you point one finger, you got four pointing back at yourself. But I don't think Mike McCarthy's hiding from anything at all. I think he's more than happy to take on a lot of the blame for what's gone on here these last few weeks in saying, you know, basically our team is not ready to play. And, you know, I think we've been outcoached in a few games. Do I think that's any type of, emulation of what type of person or coach Mike McCarthy is? No, I think we've got a good coach. I think he's proven himself across, you know, his years here in Green Bay. And I think if you ask anybody out there across the NFL, I think they'd say he's probably one of the top five coaches across the entire league. So, you know, has his armor been chinked a little bit? Yes. I think he's probably realized that he was not as prepared for this type of situation as maybe he thought he was. And will he respond? I think yes. I think he sees the writing on the wall from his fan base that's been out there and been irate of what's been going on here. I mean, let's be honest. We're not used to losing football games, and neither is Mike McCarthy. I think he doesn't like it as much as we do. So will he come back and recover from this? yes, but is it too little too late? I think maybe for this season it could be. We just have to hope that we've lived and learned and we don't have to experience a situation like this anytime in the near future.
I certainly agree that, you know, we're certainly not ready to show Mike McCarthy the door. I think he deserves the benefit of the doubt as well. I just placed, though, the total blame on the lack of preparedness with the backup quarterback to both Ted Thompson and Mike McCarthy. Thompson for not grabbing one and McCarthy for not training one. They just go hand in hand. You know, Matt Hasselbeck was sitting out there. Would have came to Green Bay, we heard recently. And during the offseason, I know I was beating the drum, let's sign him. He ended up signing a 2-year, $7.5 million for Indianapolis to back up Andrew Luck, but he would have came. And how good would Matt Hasselbeck have looked under center for the Green Bay Packers for these last five games? Fellas, I'll tell you what.
As long as he's not calling the coin toss in overtime, I'm fine with Matt Hasselbeck.
And Jerome Pettis. But, fellas, I'll tell you what, we're under 4 minutes. We got to keep moving. I normally give you about a minute and a half, 2 minutes for final thoughts and predictions. I can only give you about 45 seconds, and please try to stay to that. Otherwise, you're cutting off the time of your brethren next to you. So I'm going to start out with Patrick Hughes. Give me your final thoughts on how you think the game is going to go this Sunday at Lambeau Field and the score.
Well, I think despite Atlanta's 3-9 record, I think they're more than capable of beating the Green Bay Packers at this point. The only thing that really separates the Packers from the Falcons right now is the Packers still have something to play for. So I am going to roll the dice here and say the Packers win. It's not going to be pretty, but let's say 24-20.
24-20 Green Bay, you're saying, Patrick?
That's correct.
Okay. Excellent, and thank you for maintaining the time constraints. Dougie Badger, you're up, buddy.
Well, I got to kind of agree with what Patrick said. You know, as capable, you know, as a Matt Ryan can be, you know, I think their whole team, you look across the board, they've still got some really good quality football players. Now, losing Julio Jones earlier in the year was a big, big loss to this team, and I think, you know, whether or not they show up on Sunday is a big, big or one of the things that says whether or not they show up on Sunday is their running back, Steven Jackson. You know, you both made some really good points. If we can show up defensively and stop the run, make Matt Ryan beat us, as strange as that sounds, you never want to put the ball in Matt Ryan's hands and say, here, beat us, because he's got quite the repertoire of, you know, fourth quarter comebacks, whatever else. But we need to stop the run, and if we do stop the run, we're successful. On the flip side, if we run the football, I think we give our quarterback some time, brings a play-action pass into effect. If we do those things, we're successful. Green Bay has to get a win. Let's go out and get it. I'd say 27-20 Green Bay.
27-20 Green Bay. Okay, kind of similar to what Patrick was saying. Okay, Ray, Mr. Producer with the sunglasses and the hat, looking Hollywood. Why don't you give us your final thoughts, Ray? Take us home.
Okay. Yeah, I'll make this quick. I agree with Doug. They have to stop Steven Jackson. They have to stop the run. If they do that, they'll be successful. I believe that the Packers will win this game, but I don't think they're going to score 27 points. I think they'll win this one 17-14.
17-14, kind of more of a defensive struggle, you're thinking. Okay. Well, I'll tell you my thoughts real quick. I think it's time, Aaron Rodgers be darned, that this team pull itself together and win a football game. No matter who's between the stripes, you got to go out there and play, and it's time for everybody else on the team to make the Green Bay a W in the win column to save the season. If we lose, we're out. If we win, we're still mathematically in it. And until that time when we're told that we are not invited to the big dance, we got to keep trying to kiss the girl and get an invite. So I'm going to say 20-17 probably a lot of field goals in the game. And we would like to thank you for listening to the sports panel here on Blog Talk Radio. Be sure to catch us again next Tuesday morning at 8:30 for another edition of the show, where we will be discussing everything Green Bay Packers. Until then, for Patrick Hughes, Doug Ayton, and our producer Ray Rivard, I am your host, Davey Miller, and have a great rest of your day, everybody. Okay, guys, we're going to get cut off.
Okay, thanks much.
Thanks,
all right,
guys.
Thanks, fellas.
All right, take care.
Yep.
Go, Pat.